in the series of the Empty Gallery interviews. We had the first one in 5 years back in February with Michelle Dayton and Susan Barnett, and today we're interviewing Amy Cluck about her show Unknown Unknowns, which opens on Thursday the 14th of May in the evening. And basically the project is a collaborative project between myself and Altair, a series of live conversations that seeks to kind of create an anticipatory dialogue between the exhibitor and the exhibition space. So we had a first question to start off with, which is the same question essentially that we started off with last time in the Empty Gallery interview with Susan and Michelle, which was about how you started to conceive of your relationship with the Campbell Works Gallery space in relation to your show. What came first? Or
it's not actually in any sense site specific. So it is almost more sort of it's not even function specific. It is a sort of modular system. So this is this sort of multiple functionality to it, which means that it could be anywhere. I mean, it really could. But it is very much part of the space in the sense that it will be navigating the territory of the gallery.
Transforming the user relationship to
exactly.
This space.
It will be taking account of this space in itself, but not because of any particular reason in its location or because of its size. Size will obviously come into it, but it's not a site-specific kind of situation.
Do you want to describe a little bit about the screens or
the work or how it...
They're modular, and they're going to be sort of made from very easily reconstruct and reconfigure in whichever way you choose. They're made out of sort of quite light materials, in this cardboard sort of honeycomb stuff, which is very easily cut up and reconfigured and stuck together with bits of gaffer tape. You know, you can really make a whole structure from it. And I've also added some sort of metal stands that go with that are partly to do with the idea of opening up that structure and allowing it to just have the sort of delineated, almost a line drawing in space of the actual sort of structure itself.
So it basically be one screen inside the space?
There's many.
Many? There's
many screens. They sort of come from a pamphlet that I had, which was a two-dimensional, obviously a fold-out of all sort of pamphlet, which was a very beautiful design, but very linear and very modernist sort of look to it. And I used that as a starting point to then start developing the idea of how the screens might work. And the folding out of the pamphlet was very much also a part of the sort of three-dimensional spatial awareness that came into play with the structures themselves.
Where are you working with the screens then now? In the studio or how? What sort of space are you sort of putting them together and sort of...
They're very much, they're on paper and they're models. They're models.
So you will essentially put them all together in this space and not before? Yeah.
But then, I mean, I have sat here for about 3 or 4 days, I think.
You came in and made a model box of the gallery.
Yeah, and that and sort of...
So that's how you...
A maquette.
Yeah, which was loads of fun, actually. That was great. But it was, again, it was using this sort of... folding architecture sort of idea of this flat surface, a piece of paper basically, and how that weaves and what you can do with that, which obviously you do the most incredible amount of different things with. And usually it was all choice led, you know, you have to make choices at each turn because it's so potential, there's so much going on there.
How much is going to be kind of left to the kind of time when you're in the space building over the next 2 weeks, like whether you're going to be what kind of effect that will have, or which processes are kind of left open?
It's it's pretty much left open. I mean, I sort of created a system, basically.
Yeah.
I sort of generally, you know, I've put together a system that could be one way or it could be 100 other ways.
When you say put together a system, you put together the object that could be moved, or is that...?
I tend to sort of, I mean, it is essentially, it's a design process, really. Mm-hmm. So it is really sort of starting at a certain point and then developing it, and along the way you sort of, you know, you either refine or you don't, you know, and you make decisions all the way through. And I quite like this idea, actually, of this becoming apparent as well, this idea of sort of design thinking. And somebody recently, I think there's some sort of Harvard paper on this, which is called Design Thinking, which just sounds bizarre to me because it's obvious what this is what you do, but somebody sort of clocked onto this and said, this is very useful for us in a sort of capacity of how to work out problems and how to solve things in our commercial enterprises and so forth. We need some design thinking. And I was listening to the radio the other day and somebody was talking about this, and it's very much that process of going through, starting from nothing and not knowing what you're going to end up with, and then developing this and progressing and finding something and then throwing it out or whatever, you know, but a very organic, fluid sort of way of doing this. And I don't know, the business world has cottoned onto it somehow.
Yeah, so is your starting point the idea of the screen, or is
I think it's the potential of the screen.
Potential of the screen. Is that, and you deciding on the screen, has that come from your experience working with architects and being
interested? Well, I was a sculptor before I ever worked with them. So, but I think yes, because there's lots of reference to the physical body, in the sense of there's all the measurements that are made and all the decisions that are made about heights of things, and about there's a little sort of letterbox type thing that's potentially you could put your hand through, or something could happen, something could pass through, or you get a glimpse of something, your ankle or what have you. But all of these things are decided upon with reference, and that's either to choose it or not choose it, but with reference to these sort of homogeneous, sort of generic, sort of measurements that the resale business has. You know, at sort of 1100 you'd have a balustrade, or you'd have at 1.8 you'd have something else. And so all of this is referencing this, and in a sense it's sort of packaging the space. It's a sort of design package led construction of this artifice that you are sort of a part of, and it's with reference to you constantly. So you are sort of part of it, and I'm engineering the way that you then pass around it.
Are you imagining, in terms of imagining the audience, obviously like on a private view night or something, there'll be a hell of a lot more people in the space, and kind of will it be differently configured, or like for different nights or different?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking.
It can change. It can eternally change, because there's.
But based on your decision, no one. It's not.
Audience. I think the point is that it's not. I think the point is that it's very much a designed space.
But after it's opened, will it most probably stay the same? Will you respond to kind of how people react?
I don't know, actually. I don't know.
In terms of how you work.
The fact that it is possible to change it, and the fact that I'm now taking responsibility in that sense.
Yeah.
Me being the person.
That's what I was wondering about, the research thing, kind of watching people and how they
shift around.
Because it could totally change the space in the exhibition, couldn't you?
Totally.
I was wondering if there are, you mentioned that having worked with architects before, and kind of maybe certain, I wondered whether there were any connections with kind of outside spaces that you had ideas for linking with. I don't know if any kind of architectural function. I mean, you sort of mentioned balustrades, and kind of is there a kind of pace of life outside that you're trying to mimic or recreate or kind of are inspired by?
It's more to do with the construction of it. It's to do with the artifice. It's to do with this sort of, I'm designing deliberately a space or an area, you know, a spatially organised area for people to be in, and the sort of ramifications of what that is.
Does that relate to the mood that you create, or is it more to do with, you know?
I think, well, within that, I think you, however you're physically affected by it, will be the most to the forefront of that. It would be the most pertinent, and the way that you see through it and view the situation and see the gallery in that sense of what this is in it, how it behaves and how it directs you. I mean, I'm hoping to a certain extent to muck around a bit in a sense of directing people into a dead end and a corner or whatever, and just to a certain extent fuck with it.
So how much room will it take up then, or you don't know yet? I mean, I'm just trying to sort of envision.
I'll put it in a matchbox. I don't know.
You're not sure.
It depends. I mean, it could. You could halve the room. Could. You could put it on the corner, so it's actually, you know, quite open to to deliberations. Yeah. I am constructing a space, so I'm hoping that people will
be being open as a question.
They are being manoeuvred.
No, well, it's very
open. You know, I've got a strategy. You're being manoeuvred. This is a device that I've made that makes you do this. So either enjoy it, or you know, or find it irksome, or get annoyed with it, or
It's interesting because it's interesting the difference between kind of like a very kind of like. Like a personal kind of like design on paper, and then and then you move into the gallery, and then when does it become a dialogue? Like at which point it becomes a dialogue, especially if it involves social design of some kind. It's kind of interesting.
I'm very interested to see how it works. Yeah, and see how, you know, what comes of that in the on the opening night and thereon.
Yeah.
But I think until it actually happens, I think it's difficult to sort of know, what
that is. How much it can exist without existing. How much you think it can exist in the conversation without existing as an object, or how much of it relies on physical experience. And
yeah, that's part of the project. What is the implications of you as an artist to speak about your work sort of, you know, vocally within the space before? There doesn't have to be any, but it's you know, that's one of the things.
Yeah. I mean, when I read your questions, I just thought, how appropriate, in a sense, my work is in this sense of this empty gallery, because actually, it's because of everything we've spoken about, really, but it's just sort of triggered me. I don't know if we're doing anything in the sense of, will something be realised from this in a way that will be formative for me? I don't know yet, because I won't know that until maybe 2 days later, or 2 months' time, who knows? But I was intrigued to think that this was very interesting on the level of the questions that are asked and how they're, you know, framed.
Yeah, it doesn't happen for you, but it's just the idea of sort of trying to vocalise something that's very visual. And just by speaking, I don't know about anyone else, if you can sort of visualise the sort of work or the sort of ideas behind it, because you don't often sort of get that.
I wonder whether sometimes, I don't know whether you feel it's could potentially upset a working process.
The superstitious version?
No, not the superstitious thing, but if you work in a more kind of material-based way, a responsive-based way, but sort of too much sort of discussion can...
That's quite interesting.
I don't know.
I used to have this thing, well, I still do to a certain, but I think ideas go through sort of periods at a time.
Yeah.
They gestate. And during the gestation period, I tend to try not to speak about them, because you have this fear that they're going to drift out the window, or you're going to be drunk in a pub going, oh, rah, 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 no idea.
And then you're committed to it. That's the thing, so when you say something, are you suddenly committed to it? What's interesting about yours is because you are actually very much, it's going to be very last minute, and you're going to sort of think about how you're going to work the space here. It's almost like,
I don't feel
but that's what's interesting about your work.
I'm like letting the cat out of the bag.
We were talking, like the other day, we were talking about the idea of, kind of maybe potentially being intimidated by it, or just kind of like, oh, I'll just bring a screen and I'll cover myself. And that kind of idea of kind of creating an identity for yourself in order to be able to answer the questions. And I guess that's kind of like something, I guess it's kind of like coming around. Yeah, the idea that you might, what's your escape route? Like, is it like, how committed are you to what you're saying now? Is that part of your identity now, or are you saying that that's kind of, that will hold when the viewer comes to see the work, or presumably you're yourself now talking.
I don't know if you can know these things. Yeah. I don't know how self-conscious you would have to be to know these things in a way. I don't know how I'd know, why I'd be able to gauge, what that was until it happened almost, Then I wouldn't know what my escape route was until I tunneled and found it and was out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you to Neil and Harriet as well.
It's quite fun actually.